How do you understand your employer brand? You can aim to win awards. You can launch a new career site. You can activate beautiful campaigns. You can spend a ton of money on making everything shiny. But how do you measure how you're actually performing in the eyes of your candidates, employees, and alumni? We have developed the Employer Brand Index to help practitioners understand their company's reputation as an employer. It gives you a quantitative and qualitative understanding of what talent thinks, presented in an easily understandable score and actionable report. Learn more at employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, son, survey son. It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. Today, we're going to talk to a talent attraction stroke employer branding veteran. And this individual has done the role in many corporates in America and is going to share some of her insights, trends, patterns, and perhaps talk a little bit about the future for this field. So without further ado, let's start the show. Hey, Alison, how's it going?
I'm good, Jorgen. How are you?
I am fantastic. So welcome to the podcast. Please let us know who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Alison Dunsmore. I am an employer brand and talent attraction senior specialist at American Airlines. I'm located in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I'm new to Texas. So we've been here about a year, and it's been a really exciting transition working in aviation industry.
Tell us about your career and how you got into this space.
Sure. I graduated from the University of Massachusetts Amherst many years ago with a bachelor's degree in communication. And what I found to be true with any job that I had after I graduated is that I loved talking to people. I loved learning their story. I loved being able to converse with them and help solve problems. And that kind of eventually evolved into a career in human resources. Pretty natural transition. And from there, I learned that being in the talent attraction space or the recruiting space, you know, I really liked helping solve the problems that were most related to recruiting. So whether it be providing information about the interview process or just sharing company culture, that's where I found my skill sets to kind of evolve. And it was the most natural for me. And at the time, employer branding was probably, you know, just on the cusp of becoming something real for corporate companies to actually focus on. So I was really fortunate to be working at PricewaterhouseCoopers at the time when a position on their employer branding team opened up. And I learned that a lot of the work that I had been doing in the recruiting space, there was actually a team doing this and putting this work together to highlight what careers looked like. And then, of course, everything that came with it once you actually joined as an employee. And so I was able to start my career several years ago in the space.
So you came with a recruiter background. What sort of background do you find useful to work in talent attraction and employer brand? Some people have come from the marketing side of things or comms or recruiting.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to see how certain teams evolve based on what skill sets they have. I don't think there's any one background that sets you up for success. I think it's having a team with all of those different skill sets. So on my team currently in American, you know, we have advertising background, we have comms background, we have more of like digital creative background. And I think when we all come together as a team, you know, that's when we can put our best work out there. And not everyone can be good at everything. So employer branding is this multifaceted kind of cross-functional segment of a business. So having all of those different perspectives whenever you're creating something is really, really beneficial. So yeah, I mean, I went into it without a marketing background. I specifically had a comms background and a recruiting background. And I lean on my team members for help who have the more digital creative experience to help whatever project we're working on evolve.
And so you've been working in this space for a while in a number of big corporates. What are some of the typical challenges you've seen and how has employer brand or talent attraction been helpful?
I think one of the biggest challenges that I've seen is when companies utilize their recruiters, or someone who doesn't have the employer branding experience, like we talked about, having those different perspectives and putting something out there without really tapping into who their people are. And so often what I found to be really important is to not assume what you think the audience wants to hear, but actually go back to the people who are in that job, who are in that role currently, and really listen and learn from them and say, okay, well, if you were applying to a job today, what would you want to see out there? Who do you want to work with? Who do you want to surround yourself with? And how do we go find these people? And I think that that's a really big challenge for corporate companies without a dedicated employer branding team to go do, is to realize how they tap into the audiences that they want to attract. And I think once you get a handle on learning your audience, learning the persona, you have a much better employer branding experience for both sides of the coin, for the admin perspective, if you will, and then also the consumer, the interested party, the job seeker.
From being in the space for a while, what are some of the trends you're seeing emerging now? And where do you think this segment is going in the next 2-3 years?
The talent attraction space is really competitive. We're all still looking for the best and the brightest that can handle finance and in the IT space. And, you know, we all need to fight for these talented people. I think what I'm seeing is, you know, careers websites evolving to really push what the company has to offer, what that culture looks like, more virtual reality, 360 kind of experiences for people to get a feel for what it's like to be in the office or whatever the job location is, to truly communicate, you know, what that's like. I think it's an exciting time to be on the cusp of that, but things cost money. And, you know, just making sure that you're using your resources correctly. You're not making wasteful decisions when it comes to how you want to best communicate. And so I think right now I'm seeing a lot of just those videos coming across and learning if they're, you know, videos of people in the current role, are they really communicating what the job is really like? And that's really important because as a job seeker, you're interviewing the company as well. And so is a company putting out the right information for the job seeker to interview them and then also be interviewed? And I think it's a really interesting time because skilled job seekers have their pick of companies now, and the unemployment rate in the United States is really low. So we're all kind of fighting for the same talent pool. So I think it's just really important that organizations make sure that they're communicating genuinely and authentically who they are and selling the whole picture and the real genuine picture.
There's a little discrepancy there between the word selling and telling the real pictures, keeping it real and authentic. But on the other hand, it's also you want to be a little bit aspirational and perhaps tell the story of where the organization might be heading and so on. How do you make sure you balance that and you don't oversell the role so that to avoid disappointment when someone joins?
It's a tough thing to do because you look at the big picture of where you want to be in 10 years and the type of people that you want to come work for you. And if only these people come work for us, then we can reach our goals. I think less is more. Communicating what you have today, being transparent about where we want to be, but not necessarily giving benefits and the pros of a certain environment or job that don't exist yet. So I definitely think less is more. And then I think having those one-on-one conversations with your recruiting team when they're actually speaking to candidates and talking about the future of the organization, the future of the company, where it's headed. I think that that's the most personalized approach that you can possibly have without actually like throwing it all out on your website or your careers brochures or whatever it may be. Because you also don't, like you said, don't want to give candidates or job seekers the wrong impression of what they're going to get should they join.
So in terms of telling that story and reaching out, let's say budgets are limited, which they always are, what would be the best place to put the initial budget?
I think something that's free is to start with your own people. Find some time to do a focus group. And depending on what segment of your population you're looking to recruit from, I think hosting that focus group, asking the right questions, what do your employees like about their jobs and not like about their jobs? Or what would they tell a referral? What would they tell a friend why they like to work here? I think that that's a really easy way to start collecting that information. Because without that information, you're just assuming what you think people want to hear. And then I think something that's also really can be easy. It depends on how large your organization is and how many people you can get. But, you know, brand ambassadors are really important. Discovering who from your own organization would be interested in posting their own story on their own social media platforms. Again, these are all really free and not necessarily easy. You know, there's coordination and there's making sure that you're abiding by your company policies and just according to whatever your brand standards are. But, you know, utilizing your own people is a really easy way to tell your story, especially people who are passionate about what they do and they're happy to be where they are. And for those that are struggling, I think it's an easy way to discover where the gaps are for your own branding efforts. And then from there, you know, I'm a really big fan of user-generated content, having people post videos of themselves in certain environments, again, according to your own brand standards, every company is different. But, you know, I really love seeing that raw footage. And I think it can be a lot less expensive than hiring a videography team and coming out and doing these film testimonials. I think those are great also, but you have two options, I guess, high-end and a little bit more low budget, which might feel a little bit more real. And then I think just social media goes a really long way with telling a story. It can be challenging as well, but I really love, you know, using that network, using LinkedIn, sharing jobs that way. I think that that's a really important tool to connect with people who are job seekers, whether they're passive or active. And then, of course, depending on if you do have a budget, you know, really looking to utilize more creative avenues, those big budget videos, testimonials. But again, being genuine and authentic and making sure that it's not too scripted or that it's truly coming from a place of honesty as you can, you know. But I think that that's a really great way to tell your story is using your own people, because who knows the job better than them?
What would be the number one pitfall for our listeners to avoid?
Number one pitfall, maybe being too positive. You know, I go back to the genuine and the transparent. I think capturing the challenges of a job are really important. You know, the real day in the life. I want to hear if I'm applying for a job, someone's favorite part of their job, but then also what can I really expect? What will I face? You know, is this the right job for me? So I think just, you know, and I think that helps weed out your talent pool as far as knowing who's really qualified for your jobs, who's not. Having somewhere on your website that sets a real expectation or however you're communicating the job, it sets a real expectation of what the duties and roles and the responsibilities of the job are to make sure that you're getting the right fit for your roles too.
From your own perspective, where do you go to learn and stay on top of the game, and what sort of resources, where on the internet or events and so on, your influences?
So I'm fortunate enough to be part of an employer branding Facebook group where people in the industry share their best practices or ask questions or, you know, are interested in using a certain vendor and want to hear from others. I think that that's a really great group of people to lean on, because we're all learning together as our industries evolve and as the employer branding space evolves as well. And so I'm fortunate to be part of that, and I have my alerts on and I always check it, you know, every couple of days. And then on LinkedIn, I follow all of the employer branding links, hashtags, any kind of podcasts. And then of course, I also make sure that I'm just doing my own research. I have all of my alerts on my phone turned on for what's happening in the world. That helps me learn about my own industry, you know, being in the aviation industry, but it also helps me do a temperature check on what other companies are doing. I think it's really interesting to see what companies outside of your own industry are doing in the commercial space. And I literally mean like commercials. Like is the consumer part of their brand advertising commercials, and what does that look like? And then how does it tie back to their careers brand? I look on YouTube videos all the time. I always refer back to this one YouTube video that I absolutely love. There's a New Zealand police department that was hiring, and it's this really genuine, really real expectation setting video of what it's like to work there. And so I look all over just to find inspiration. I'm constantly looking at advertisements when I walk through airports or just anything when I'm scrolling through my own social media or Instagram feed. I'm constantly saving and liking and kind of storing away these tabs, because I think there's inspiration everywhere. Even if you're, you know, even if we're talking about careers make up most of people's days. They spend more time at work with their work families than they do at home with their real families often. And so I think just finding these genuine pieces of creativity everywhere around me all kind of factors into what I want to put out there and how I want to connect with people.
Speaking of careers, I had a chat with someone the other day around employer branding, talent attraction. From a practitioner point of view, what is the natural career step? Once you've hit the top of that role, so to speak, where do you go next?
I think that's a really interesting point. And I don't really know where the employer brand space will evolve to on its own. Forget anything else. Where can it go? I don't really know. Sky seems to be the limit right now. But I think anyone who has experience, you know, kind of like what we talked about before, there's all these different perspectives that go into employer branding. You know, I think it's feasible to think that going into a marketing-based role is possible. Getting your feet wet in a more of a communications-based role. I think that that would be a really cool next step in a career, is to know the company so well from the career's perspective, then going to the consumer side. You know, that's something I'm definitely interested in, is consumers can become employees. And so how do you learn both audiences? So I think being in this role, you work so cross-functionally that really you could go anywhere, because you're meeting so many different people from around your entire company. What interests you next? For me, I have a master's in HR management, so I could see myself in a number of HR roles after this. And I think, just like I said, knowing your organization so well from the outside in really sets you up for success to maybe do whatever you want next, because you have such a great grasp on what your organization is looking for when it comes to who they want to employ.
So good news for everyone listening to this. Okay, so final question. You mentioned you're scrolling on social media sometimes. Where can our listeners find you on social, and where can they connect?
Everyone can definitely connect with me on LinkedIn at Allison Dunsmore. Feel free to follow me on Instagram. It's mostly puppies and my two-month-old baby, but it is at AllyPup, AllyPup. So come join the fun.
Great. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it, folks. If you enjoyed this episode, first of all, please make sure that you thank and, well, reach out and then thank Allison. Second, you may want to consider subscribing to this podcast at employerbrandingpodcast.com. It's a long URL, but it does what it says on the tin. As well as on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, SoundCloud, and all the other places. Now, if you really enjoyed this episode, please help us out by leaving a review wherever you do listen. And of course, if you're interested in understanding your organization's reputation as an employer, feel free to check out the Employer Brand Index. So that's employerbrandindex.co. So we help companies like GE, Unilever, Lockheed Martin, etc. to do just that. That is it. Thank you so much for tuning in, and look forward to catching up next time. Hey!
Why are koala bears not real bears? They do not have the qualifications.